You're listening to the All Day Ruckoff Podcast, episode number 89. Welcome to the All Day Ruckoff Podcast, episode number 89. This is your host, Brian, and I wanted to thank you so much for tuning in. The All Day Ruckoff Podcast focuses on the GRT and rucking community and includes interviews, motivation, and advice to keep you informed and get you ready for your next event. In this episode, we have our third part in the Cadre Dan series, where we've gone through the heavy. Part one, if you listen to that, was the history of the heavy. Part two was modifications that are being made to the heavy for 2019 and why they're happening. And here we are, part three, Bragg Heavy history plus the 2019 event, and then some bonus content on the end, some awesome stories with Cadre Dan. Before we get into this interview, as always, I would love to give some thanks to those who have taken some time and left a review on either Apple Podcasts or on our Facebook page. Today, we've got a 5-star review left on Apple Podcasts. All around great content between the Facebook page, the podcast, the website, YouTube. There is a wealth of information provided to allow someone to obtain real information about GORUCK and the GRT community. I've enjoyed having a place to learn about what I am getting myself into. The information provided has been extremely valuable while I've been training for my first event. I regularly listen to these podcasts while rucking or just working out at the gym. Brian has a great way of interacting with guests, making the listening experience very enjoyable. Rob, thank you so much for taking the time to leave that. I truly appreciate it. I'm glad all the information that I've put out there, the website, podcast, YouTube, all that stuff has been helpful. That's really the goal of it, is to help people. If it's not helping people, then there's really no reason to be making it. So thank you so much for taking the time to leave that 5-star review. I appreciate it. And it sounds like you haven't done your first event yet, but when you do, I'd love to hear about it. Shoot me an email. I hope you have a really good time at it. I mentioned at the beginning that there's some bonus content at the end. If you listened to the first interview with Cadre Dan, then you might remember that I talked for a couple of seconds to explain what was going to happen. And then there was just this bonus conversation with Dan and myself. That's pretty much what happened here. After we had wrapped, he was telling a funny story. He's like, oh man, I forgot to say this during the podcast. And we ended up getting it recorded. So there's going to be about 30 seconds of me talking, and then you're going to get about 6 minutes of awesome Cadre Dan stories. So stick around at the end. It's like a false finish, and then you get the bonus Cadre Dan story, and then it's like the real finish. Thank you so much for all the support. I hope you enjoy this episode. Here it is, part 3 of 3 with Cadre Dan, GORUCK Bragg Heavy. Today, I'm talking with Dan. We're going to be going through the GORUCK Bragg Heavy event. For those who are in the tough page, you know that this just recently happened for 2019. We're going to talk about where the event started, how it progressed throughout the years, and then we're going to dive into depth on the current year, the 2019 Bragg Heavy. Dan, how you doing today?
Doing awesome, man. I'm tired, but I'll be all right.
I can imagine. I talked to a couple people who finished Bragg Heavy this year, and it sounds like they're a little tired too.
Yeah, man, them guys wore me out, man. I'm not getting any younger running these events.
So I've got to say, before we get going, last Thursday was the second episode that we released together. The week before was the first episode. Between the release of that first episode and today, I'm pretty sure you've beaten the record for downloads. So you've beaten Jason, you beat BD.
That's awesome.
Which are the prior two kings of download counts. So
wow, that's pretty awesome. I'm gonna have to definitely talk cash money on Jason and Big Daddy for that.
So Bragg Heavy, where did I guess I should let you carry us away on this, but I'm curious where the idea from it came from.
So Fort Bragg, man, is like the center of the universe. You know, it's the home of special operations, and it's the home of the airborne. So there's all kinds of soft guys running around Fort Bragg. The 82nd Airborne's on Fort Bragg. And like Fort Bragg is like pretty much my second home. And there's an energy around Fort Bragg, and it's always been that way. Anytime I've traveled in the military and I've strayed away from Fort Bragg, and there's a couple places that I was stationed, you know, guys would be like, "Oh, you're coming from Bragg," and it just had this aura about it. It just had this, like, "Wow, you came from Bragg. You're one of those guys." So you're automatically like different than everybody else in the Army from being from Fort Bragg. And it's just a lot of, you know, not only, you know, with the soft community and the home of the airborne and everything like that, it's just the mentality of Fort Bragg. It's just the mentality of the people that are stationed at Fort Bragg. We got some real heavy hard hitters that are at Fort Bragg. So I wanted to, like, with the first heavy, I wanted to do the first heavy on Fort Bragg. I just thought it made sense. You know, we got this new concept. Let's do it on Fort Bragg. And so, you know, heavy class 001 was at Fort Bragg. And that's where I proved the heavy concept. And, you know, I had the 73 guys start, or 73 personnel started, 37 finished. So that's, you know, that's where the 50% attrition rate comes from. And the weather there was absolutely just atrocious. So it was perfect. It was perfect February North Carolina weather. It could have been like 80 degrees the day prior, and then the next day it was pouring rain and it was 40 degrees. It's perfect for this area. So I wanted to do another heavy, so we was like, okay, let's do another one at Fort Bragg. So that would be, I refer to that as Bragg Heavy version 2.0. It was an upgrade from Heavy Class 001. And so this is what, if you go on the GORUCK website, this is where the heavy video was filmed. And specific to that, Joe Warner was a participant. And he finished the event. And I never knew that Joe Warner was like a Green Beret. He was a major, and he was working in the recruiting command here on Fort Bragg. And whenever I found out he was a Green Beret, I was like, yo, we got to hire this guy. Cause I remember him in the event and I remember him putting out, and you know, I pretty much vetted him and I was like, yep, he's good to go. And then Cadre Marcus was also friends with him. He was cadre at that time, cause he was also cadre for that class. So both of us, more Marcus than me, but we brought him on as cadre. And, you know, he started working a bunch of events that year in 2014. And, you know, unfortunately, he passed away in December of that year, a couple months before the next Bragg Heavy. And, you know, it just sad. Obviously, it's sad because we lost a brother cadre in a Green Beret. And, you know, my last conversation with him was about being cadre for the next Bragg Heavy. He was pretty excited about it. He was like, wow, really, man? I could be cadre for that? And I was like, yeah, man, absolutely. I mean, you did the event, so you pretty much are guaranteed to be cadre pretty much forever. So that, you know, he passed away in December of 2014. And, like, I just, you know, I was deployed at the time. And, you know, I was like, I don't think we had it on the schedule yet at that time, because we were working with Fort Bragg Garrison to get it on to Fort Bragg for that year, and it just wasn't shaken out. So I almost didn't do a Bragg Heavy again in 2015, and there was a couple different reasons. One, because, you know, Joe passed away and I wanted him to be cadre for it. Two, I was in Afghanistan and we had done the past two in February, and I wanted to do this one in 2015 in February as well. And then the other thing, obviously, with Fort Bragg, just wasn't, they just didn't want to play ball with us. So anyway, so the deployment was going and everything. And then, you know, February passed and I was still in Afghanistan, and, you know, I was talking to cadre and headquarters. I was like, you know what? I'm like, we got to do this. We got to do this for Joe. I was like, let's just do it in May. I mean, it's going to be a short release, but let's just do it in May. And what we're going to do is we're going to rename the event. We're going to rename it the Joe Warner Bragg Heavy. So we talked to his wife, Stephanie. His wife was all on board and everything, And so we launched this. We, the 2015 Brag Heavy, it was in May. Joe's wife and kids were at the event. They came and met us in the Sandhill Gamelands where it was. So the first two were on Fort Bragg. The second one was in the Sandhills Gamelands. And we had, you know, we had his kids and his wife there. And we christened the event. We christened it the Joe Warner Brag Heavy. And the cool thing about that event was, you know, other than we christened the event, is that we had absolutely nobody quit, which is pretty awesome. So that's where the, you know, the quitting is not authorized was like really hammered into these guys, you know, especially with the participants that were at that event, you know, with having Joe's wife and kids at the event. You know, after the kids and the wife left off, I was like, you guys will absolutely not quit this event. You understand? and everybody did great. It was a great event. And then Cadre Marcus, he actually did the event, that 2015 Brag Heavy, which we rechristened the Joe Warner Brag Heavy. So he actually did the event, and he did it with Joe's Ruck. So, I mean, there was a lot of significance with that event specifically. And, yeah, it was really awesome. So the 2000, so we went back and I was like, look, this thing's got to be in February. It's always got to be in February. The weather in Fort Bragg in February is horrible. So we did the first two in February. And then, you know, obviously I talked about why it was in May. So let's do this thing. Let's go back and let's just put this on a schedule and it's permanent. Right. So February, 2016, we did the Joe Warner Brag Heavy, and that was also in the Sandhills Gamelands. And again, we didn't have any quitters. And another great event, running around the Gamelands, doing all kinds of craziness in the woods. It was really cool. It was a good time. So we wanted to do something different for the 2017 event. So again, all these events are now in February. So for the 2017, we wanted to do something different. So we did it at Bragg. We did it on the Sandhills Gamelands. So we were looking for another place to do this. And Cadre Doug at the time, he told me about the National Athletic Village. And I had never heard of the National Athletic Village. And he was like, yeah, man, it's like this huge area out in Southern Pines. And he's like, bro, you could totally do a heavy there. And I was hesitant at first because, you know, I like to get a lot of distance. And like when I did the you know, good map recon, I was like, ah, man, that's kind of out there. And, you know, and there's like Highway 1 is right next to it. I was like, ah, I don't know. So I went out there and I sat down with the league coordinator, the event organizer for the National Athletic Village and the owner. And I sat down there with them and I explained everything I was going to do and I didn't hold anything back. And they looked at me and they're like, awesome. Sounds good. When so what date in February do you want to do this? And I was like, I thought they were going to like, tell me I was nuts. And, but they were totally supportive. They're like, oh yeah, it sounds great. And, the National Athletic Village is pretty awesome. And when we did it in February, 2017, you know, they had this giant soccer field outline. They had a couple trails and they had just started building an obstacle course. And so they were just kind of like in their infancy as well, you know, working on the area and everything. So yeah, man. So we launched it. We had it at the National Athletic Village and otherwise known as the NAV. And unfortunately at that event, we broke the chain on quitters. And we had a few personnel that voluntarily withdrew from the event, and it was a great event. We really weather was cooperative. I mean, I think I was I remember being out in the middle of the day on we're probably like hour 18, and I was in like shorts and a t-shirt. I mean, it was just gorgeous, beautiful weather. And Jason, the owner, Goruck, he was there, and The funny thing about that event that I'll never forget is that, you know, I'm at a new place running this event with all the, you know, the hoopla behind the event. And I got Jason there and I got these guys on like strict timelines. And as much as running the event is hurting cats, it's also hurting cats, hurting the cadre. Cause we had 10 cadre there. And, so Jason, I mean, he's the owner of GoRuck, man. I'm not really going to tell him a whole lot to do. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be like, hey, man, I need you to take these guys. I need you to sit at the halfway point for the 12-miler. Jason just does Jason things, and he goes rogue on me. And he did at this event. So he had the guys over in, like, this sand pit. And we had the classes broke up, and we were all going to come together at a certain time. And he's over there with like, one of the – I think, like, 20 or 30 of them over there. And he's having them, like, dump sand in their rock, and they're doing, like, inchworm push-ups, which is, like, Jason's favorite thing to do. And he's just going to town on these guys. And I'm like – Kadri Flash, and I think he was over there with them. And I had Kadri John. He was with them too. And they're just over there, like, thrashing these guys. I'm like, hey, bro, we need to get this event moving, man, because I got, like, 3/4 of the class waiting on you, watching you thrash these guys. And, like, Jason's like, just send them over here. I was like, whatever, man. It's just funny. Because, like, I knew that if I had Jason there, he would just go rogue on me, and he did. And I was like, bro, you're messing with my timeline, man. And Jason's like, whatever. But it was pretty funny. But anyway, so yeah. So anyway, man, it was a great event. And then so last year we also had it at the NAV, and we had everything coordinated and set up. And unfortunately, that was the event that Jerome Gonzalez unfortunately passed away at the event. So, you know, obviously we stopped the event, and you know, we had the guys, and we told them what happened. And just unfortunate that we lost one of our own in the community. So this year, man, I would say probably 9 months ago, I had GRHQ, or I had headquarters up, and I was like, look, I was like, we have to do this again at the NAV. Because what I wanted to do was, like, I was on a pattern. So the first two were at Bragg, the next two were out in the Sandhills Game Lands, and then these two were going to be out at the NAV, and then I wanted to look for, like, a different location. So I was like, look, man, we got to have this thing at the NAV. I was like, I need, for my own mental faculties and for closure, I have to run this event out there in honor of Jerome and everything, you know, that went with that. So headquarters is like, yeah, man, go ahead. So this year, we ran it out at the NAV, and I'm a numbers guy, man. So I'm gonna break down these numbers. So we had, at one time, we had over 200 people signed up for this thing, right? So that's a lot of folks showing up for a heavy. On game day, so this past Friday, that was whittled down to 142 were registered for the event. Of that 142, 97 showed up to meet 8 cadre that I handpicked from the Bragg area. So primacy for the cadre goes to cadre that live in this live around the Bragg area. So I just start picking them off, like, hey, can you come? Are you deployed? Are you not deployed? Whatnot. And that's how I build my cadre team. And then, you know, I see these cadre, like, all the time. So great dudes, man. Great cadre out there. So this year we had 2 cadre that haven't run any Bragg events ever. And that was Scott and cadre Nate. So they were the new additions to the usual suspects, which would have been, you know, cadre's Carl, Jared, Marcus, Montreal, and Fury. Fury was actually at, he wasn't there last year, but he was at the year prior to. The funny story with him, he actually, he just came out to, like, shadow the, that Joe Warner Bragg heavy a couple years ago in 2017. And we just put him to work. Just had him do, we're like, oh, man, free chicken. All right, man. Hey, you're going to do the 12-miler. You're going to do this. You're going to do that and everything. And it was great because he got great exposure to GoRuck and everything like that. I don't even think he had done an event at that point. He was just coming out to check it out, and I just put him to work. And he did great. So it was awesome. All right, so we started the event. So during the event, we had 2 that we med dropped. And we had 13 voluntarily withdraw or quit. So that left us with 82 people successfully completing this year's Joe Warner Bragg Heavy. So 97 showed up, 2 med drop, 13 quit, 82 finished.
That's impressive numbers.
Yeah.
Percentage completing it over showed up.
For these events, man, like we always get a ton of people to register for this event. And then like closer to the event, I think reality smacks some people in the face and they're like, yeah, I probably didn't train enough. I'm just going to go ahead and transfer my registration to another heavy, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? I'd rather you probably do that than anything, you know, but we base a lot of planning, you know, 69 days out of how many participants are registered. You know, I'd rather overplan than underplan. Even with it down to 142, I mean, we still had, 45 people still on game day had registered and just like, nope, it's not my day. And that's fine, man. Like, you know, it's not that big of a deal, man, because, hey, life happens. You know, things happen and whatnot. And this year we had a guy from Canada. It's not uncommon for us to get, like, you know, onesies and twosies that are coming from, you know, internationally. And then, you know, I mean, hell, this is like an all-American event, man. We probably damn near got most of the states covered for coming to this event. So people are coming all over the place. So I got it, man. It's not that big of a deal. I don't get upset about it. So, but,
it definitely skews the, category to participant ratio though, right? Cause you're planning 150 people to show up. So you've got 8 cadre ready. You're looking at like 18 participants per cadre, and then game day comes around and it's almost like 10 or 11 participants to cadre.
Yeah, the numbers are not in your favor. You know what I mean? for the people that actually show up, you know, because I got 8 cadre, man, and the 8 is like for this specific event, man. Like, headquarters is awesome, man. They're super supportive of this event, and that's like our magic number for cadre. I mean, I haven't always had 8, obviously. You know, one year I had like 4, a couple years I've had like 4, and then like one year I had like 10, you know what I mean? But 8's like the perfect number, you know, because whenever the cadre, because we're getting old, we got to go into a rest plan. So it's perfect because you always have like 4 cadre with you, and you can do anything. Because of the amount of cadre, there's a lot more things we can do for this event, you know, and that's good. That's what makes this event what it is. So, but, so some of the people that, you know, voluntarily withdraw, man, I call it going for the title shot. So this is the king of all rucks. This is the number one heavy, the hardest heavy, however you want to frame it. And, so this is a title shot, man. And some of the people that dropped this year, I know one of them, two of them I definitely know, were this was like their first ever Go Ruck event. Like, had never done a light, never done a tough, never done another heavy. Like, this was the Go Ruck event that they had signed up for. And we get some of that coming from, you know, some folks local to the area come out and sign for the event. And I got it, man. But like, when I was talking to them, I'm like, you've never done a Go Ruck event? They're like, nope. And I'm like, bro, you have about a 2% chance. You have, like, before you even started, man, you realistically have a 2-3% chance of finishing the event if you've never done a Go Ruck event. You know what I mean? Like, you just went right for, usually, you know, you want to do like a light, and then you want to do like a tough, then maybe do like a heavy, be like, okay, I got this. And then you want to, you know, go for the title shot, and that sequence of events doesn't necessarily, you know, dictate your success or failure, but you probably want to be exposed to Go Ruck events before you come out to do this event specifically. But hey, man, my hat's off to you, because I've definitely had people that have been successful, and I've definitely had people that have never done a heavy come out to this specific event, and they did fine. So it's not, you know, the exception is not necessarily a norm, but, you know, either way, man, like, title shots, just be cognizant of that, you know. And another note on the people that voluntarily withdraw, man, like I've talked in the past two podcast man, the 12 miler man. 12 miler gets folks, just not training enough, and I can't overstate the importance of actually doing a 12 miler for time. Like there's a difference between grabbing your buddies and going for a ruck, and there's a difference between going and walking 12 straight miles in under 3 hours. There's a difference. You know what I mean? And you could grab your buddies and you could talk and do that and everything like that. But like I always tell people, if you're running and talking, you're not running fast enough. So I don't know. I don't know what to say about, you know, the 12 miler. I mean, it's on the website, man. You know, it's not like it's a mystery thing, but I highly advise doing a 12 miler four time prior to showing up for a heavy, and absolutely before showing up for this one. So the and with that, I only had 23 people finish the 12 miler in under 3 hours. And then the rest of the class, like, was anywhere between 3 hours and anywhere north of 3 hours and 30 minutes. I think I quit even looking at my clock after 3 hours and 30 minutes. Pretty sure on the website we have the time standard for three hours and 30 minutes, but you know, that's cadre dependent, bro. You know what I mean?
And this is the title shot, right? So
yeah, it's a title shot, man. And like the Robbie Miller heavy, this past January in Orlando, man, I had these guys doing a 12 miler and I gave them a time hack of 3 hours, and I'm pretty sure that most of them, minus like onesies and twosies, were able to do that in under 3 hours. And I had them on a 1 mile loop. Here at the Joe Warner Bragg Heavy, I had them on a 2.3 mile loop. So they had to do like five loops, and then we had them do like a small loop inside, like around the soccer field or whatever, to make up for the 12 miler. So it wasn't that mentally taxing. Like 12 loops is taxing, you know, on the coconut. I got it. You know what I mean? But like, you know, five loops, that's not too bad. And the sand, where was that in Southern Pines? The sand hills. I mean, they're not climbing any mountains, man. They're just going up some hills. There's a few hills, and you know, and some of it was on a trail, but like the route wasn't that bad. I mean, there was definitely some places that you could haul ass on and take advantage of the downhills and literally just run with your ruck down some hills, and then some slow gradual climbs. But the other thing interesting about this event, man, was like the weather. The weather was absolutely horrible. And when I say that, like, to frame the context, when I did the roll call at 1700 on Friday, I was in, you know, I had my BDU pants on, my Mac V1s, which are awesome, and a short sleeve shirt. When I finished the event 24 hours later, you know, I had my BDU pants on and my Mac V1s. I had three layers on my top to include a t-shirt, a schmog, and a knit cap and gloves. I was freezing. The wind was just cutting through everything. The temperature dropped probably like 20 some degrees. It rained from like 04 until pretty much until the end of the event. And there's points that it would just kind of drizzle, but I mean, it poured like 4, 5, 6 in the morning. It was just dumping rain on these guys. And so these guys were absolutely saturated from head to toe. And this really, the weather specifically reminded me of the first heavy. It was almost exactly the same. It was just miserable weather. The difference between the first heavy, the first Bragg heavy, and this one is when the weather got bad, man, the team stuck together during this one. I thought when it started just dumping rain and the, you know, the participants were getting just saturated, I was like, oh man, looks like we actually might make a 50% attrition rate. And but no, man, nobody quit when the weather got, when it just went bad. And I mean, the temperature was dropping all throughout the day. I mean, it seemed like every hour it was dropping a couple degrees. And everybody stuck together, man, and they all pushed through, and I had no quitters due to weather or any other lunacy that we threw at them. So and that's a testament to the folks who showed up, man. There's some hard dudes and hard women that came out for this event. So it was awesome.
That's what it sounds like. I keep going back to the 12 mile ruck. It was 5 loops. And what was the elevation like?
You know, to be honest with you, man, I have no idea. But again, I mean, it was a sand. Where it's at is in the sand. It's, you know, the Sand Hills area, North Carolina. So it's just rolling hills.
Okay.
It's nothing. It's elevation, to be honest with you. It's not crazy, because if you're going down, you're going right back up. Wherever you're rocking. So it's not that bad. Elevation is not a factor, man. The factor is not training. That's the factor. That's the reason. 12 miles straight, man, that's a lot of miles to put on your feet. And, you know, some of the – I had a couple people. Usually, most of the time, I get people at the very end. I'll be like, all right, anybody want to quit? And then, you know, I'll get a couple people that will be like, yeah, I'm done. Because, you know, like I said, they get in their mind. They're like, man, I'm done. And I still got, like, 20-some hours of this lunacy. I'm just going to go ahead and tap out right now. But this year, man, I actually had people quit during the 12-miler. You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and walk right to my car. And I'm done. So, it's a 12-miler. It gets folks. Training.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just wondering if there was, like, some crazy elevation gains and losses or something going on in there, because it's, I don't know. I mean, like you said, this is the king of rucks. It's on the website. When I did heavy drop training, I guess it was back in July. One of the things there is you have to do a 12-mile ruck. I came in at 220, and I'm trying to think, like, 330, like, that's a lot of extra time. So I'm just playing around in my head, you know, where the extra hour 10 was spent, if there were a ton of hills, if there was.
It goes back to, you know, one of my earlier comments on the other podcast, man. Like, when you train for a heavy, you gotta train to thrive, not just survive. Because you have to be able to, like, you have to be able to help your buddies. And that's where the thrive comes in. Because now you're helping your buddies when it's time for us to, you know, do coupon movements, and then whenever your buddy's feeling sorry for himself, you're talking him out of quitting and everything. I mean, if you're just worried about yourself and surviving, you're not going to be a team player, man. You're just gonna be in your little shell, and you're just gonna be worried about yourself, you know, feeling sorry for yourself, and then you're just setting yourself up for failure.
And if the Gorok Heavy's the ultimate team event, and the Breg Heavy is the king of rucks, then I guess the Breg Heavy is the king of ultimate team events. So you want to be there and ready to help out.
Yeah, logically speaking, you're correct. And this is not the event. This is definitely not the event to show up undertrained. There's that.
And I think historically speaking, watching Breg Heavies over the years, I think a lot of people have come to realize that, because there's a lot now, you know, behind the Breg Heavy name and what it entails for an event.
Oh yeah, 100%. So, I mean, like, if I was going to do this event, if I was committed, I'm going to do this event, man. And I got a heavy underneath my belt, so I've done a heavy. So I'm not just, you know, speaking in dream state concepts. And, you know, this is what I would do. Like, no, this is what I actually did. And this is what I would recommend. You know, you got the Robbie Miller wad. So I would absolutely use that. And I would train to crush that Robbie Miller wad. I mean, we had a couple guys, they finished the Robbie Miller wad, I think, in an hour, a little over an hour and a half. I mean, that's crushing the wad. Cause I mean, I planned for 3 hours for that wad, and with the 3 mile ruck on the front, and then the exercises and the 3 mile ruck on the back. I mean, these guys were like an hour 45, maybe 2 hours. I mean, that's just phenomenal. I mean, it crushed the wad like it was nothing, you know. And I would train to crush the Robbie Miller wad.
When you're training to crush the Robbie Miller wad, are you wearing your ruck while you're doing the PT, or are you doing PT no ruck?
No, PT no ruck. And that was that was a miscommunication with me and the cadre. But I mean, hey, cadre discretion, man, it's a beautiful thing. So, so like half of the, half the guys that did the Rob Miller Wad at this past, Joe Warner Bragg Heavy, unfortunately got to do all the exercises with their ruck on. And they still did great. Cause I walked in there, I walked into the little gym that they're in, and they were doing the Robbie Miller Wad. And I'm like, why are these guys wearing their rucks? Doing all like watching them like do pull-ups with their rucks on, and then they're over to do mountain climbers, you know, the rucks bang them in the back of the head. And I'm like, and I looked at the other cadre that was running it. And I was like, hey bro, they're not supposed to be wearing their rucks. He was like, I was like, they'll be all right. but no. So if I was going to train and do, I would not wear my ruck for the actual exercises in the middle. The pull-ups, the burpee squats, the mountain climbers, the rucksack get ups.
Obviously, the ruck get up. Yes.
But yeah, man. So I would train to crush the Robbie Miller Wad, and then I'd wait about 30 minutes. I'd hydrate up. I'd eat, and then I'd go into the 12 miler. I would shoot for about a 2-hour, 30-minute finish. And that's just when I mean shoot for, a 2-hour, 30-minute finish, that just gives you breathing room. That's all it is, man. You know what I mean? The standard on the website says 3 hours and 30 minutes. May have a cadre that says 3 hours. May have a cadre that says 2 hours and 30 minutes. If you got a cadre that says 2 hours, 12 miles, I mean, that – I don't think that's ever going to happen, but that's just being an asshole, right?
You're most likely not going to be the only one who doesn't finish that.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? So you just go into the law of averages with your fellow teammates and everything. But a 2-hour, 30-minute finish for a 12-mile, man, that in itself is a solid time without doing a wad in front of it. You know what I mean? That's a really good time. And I've definitely known a guy or two that's done a sub 2-hour 12-miler. And I mean, you're running the entire time fast. So but either way, man, that's what I would do. That's the path that I would go on. And then obviously, strength and conditioning training. I would absolutely 100% be doing yoga. I'm a huge fan of yoga. And then you can't understate diet in this equation either, man. You can't, like, prior to the event, man, you can't be stuffing yourself with Twinkies and all kinds and Mountain Dew and all kinds of other craziness, man. You got to eat right. I mean, you should be eating right just in general, just without GORUCK in the equation. But it definitely helps if you got a really good diet. It's going to show at the event, man. You're going to feel a hell of a lot better. Eat your vegetables, right?
Title shot, right?
It's a title shot.
You don't see fighters the night before a fight stuffing down like Big Macs with Twinkies on top, and
they might, because they had to do the weight. They did a crazy weight loss plan to get to make weight and everything like that. They might want to bulk up before a fight, but either way, man,
they definitely gain back. I'm not sure if it's through Mickey D's.
that's just funny, but yeah, man. Yeah, I can't overstate diet, yoga, strength and conditioning, and then rucking, man. Like, bro, you're gonna carry that ruck for like 40 miles. Like, I'm not saying you have to do a 40-mile ruck. That's not what I'm saying, because doing a straight 40-mile ruck, I mean, you're going to cover 20, you're going to cover 40 miles in a minimum 40 miles in a minimum 24-hour period. So I don't necessarily know the value of doing like 8 straight 40-mile ruck. But I mean, if you can walk straight for 40 miles of the ruck, one, why don't you go ahead and do the 50-mile star course? And two, you're probably way, way ahead of the power curve for doing a heavy. You know what I mean? So that's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. Especially with the heavy, you're not out there rucking straight 40 miles. You have it broken up with a bunch of PT, which I hear is pretty prevalent at Bragg heavy events.
So this year, man, I'll hit the scheme of maneuver basically like line by line of the how we did the event. So, you know, obviously we started with the Robin Miller wad, went right into a, you know, a 12 miler. And then after that, we did like a coupon movement. So I had eight cadre, and eight cadre brought all the coupons that they could fit in the backs of their trucks. So all, I think at that point we had like 80, I think we were like 84, 85. At that point, everybody carried all the coupons. It was like the most coupons I've ever seen. And we had to do a coupon movement, and that was miserable. And then we broke the class down, and we had to do like a cadre round robin where they, you know, did some rifle PT, did some log PT, did some other exercises, some other coupon movements and whatnot. And then we gathered them all up, and we did a really good log PT session. That was fun. And after that, the weather, they were just, you know, between doing log PT, the round robin and the coupon movement, this was all done in the pouring rain. And then we had this giant, you know, mud puddle and everything. We had them going through and what low crawling through. So we had, it's really, all right, man, let's, I didn't want anybody hyping out on me. So I took him inside, and that's where we like did our Honor Joe. And we basically take some time out of the event, like, you know, pause X, and we just talk about Joe and how awesome he was and, you know, everything, how much he meant to the cadre, how much he meant to the community, and just a good way to honor Joe. And then additionally, this year, after we honored Joe, we also honored Jerome. And you know, other than me talking about Jerome, we went and did the Jerome Gonzalez wad. So this wad, I'm going to read, I'll read over what the wad is and then the significance of it. So like the first thing was an undetermined amount of time for an undetermined amount of distance run, just a straight run with no rucks. And then we did what's, it's like we call it the carry the wounded. So it's like a casualty carry. So we had like at the start line, we had like, participants would firemen carry a casualty for 100 meters. They would place the casualty on the ground, and they would sprint back to the start. They would secure both the rucks, so their ruck and their casualty's ruck. They would suitcase carry the ruck back to the casualty, and then at the 25-meter, the 50-meter, and the 75-meter mark, they would do 10 burpees. So then once they got to the 100-meter mark, they placed the ruck on their back, and they dragged the casualty all the way back to the start. And then they would have to sprint all the way back another 100 meters and retrieve their buddy's ruck and then finish back at the start point. So that was like a mini event within the Jerome Gonzalez wad. And then 40 push-ups, 40 sit-ups, 5 pull-ups, 10 step-ups each leg. And then we rounded out with a coupon carry. So the first half-mile ruck with no coupon, and then the second half-mile they had to ruck back with a coupon. So that was the order that we did the Jerome Gonzalez wad, but I'm not going to have everybody just stand there waiting on doing, you know, the casualty carry. So we broke it up. We would start each group at different stations and just rotate them around and whatnot. So some groups started with the push-ups, some groups started with the coupon carry. We just rotated them around. So it was pretty cool. Banged that out. And then we moved on to some more log PT, because why not, with some cadre games in between there. We did a final movement to the finish. We finished everything up, index, handed out some patches, and then this year we had a hot meal. The National Athletic Village provided a hot meal of chili and chicken soup and a pretty nice garden salad and some other stuff. So it was cool to hang out with everybody for a couple hours. Of course, there was beers and everything inside after we were just getting crashed by the weather for the past 24 hours and all the stuff, the cadre that we threw at them. So that was the 2019 Joe Warner Bragg Heavy. Good times.
Sure sounds like it. And I've already talked to a number of people who finished who said that it was just an amazing event. Do you know how far the event traveled?
40 miles. We hit the minimum right on the head. between the 12 miler, the Robbie Miller wad, and, you know, the coupon carries, the Jerome Gonzalez wad, and then, you know, the all the back and forth on the site and everything like that. We put it down for, we had it right at 40 miles. So it was,
it's perfect.
It's tight. Cause I mean, we're at the same site. I mean, it's the difference between this event and, like, you know, any other heavy that's ran anywhere else, where, like, you know, you're going to walk, and, you know, you'll either be, you know, inside a city, outside a city, or wherever, you know what I mean? You're going to cover some miles. These guys covered miles on the same ground. So, I mean, like, I think they did, like, probably, like, between the 12 miler, the Robbie Miller wad, and some other stuff, they probably did about 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, they probably did, like, almost probably about 10 loops around the, all total, around the nav. So they got tired of seeing the same shit over and over and over again. It's definitely mentally taxing when you're walking by the same place over and over and over and over again. So,
and the thing is, I mean, when you're not out there rucking and putting miles on, you're just smoking them with PT. So
yeah,
putting 40 miles on them, I mean, a couple of them might have wished that it was 50 miles and have 2.5 hours less of PT.
Oh yeah.
It's not like having 40 miles makes it any easier. It just means that the rest of the time was filled with the beatdowns.
With this specifically, man, with it being in the nav, and then also, like, the why, you know what I mean? The why is this the king of all rucks? So there's some specific reasons why. So, you know, every event GORUCK comes to you. So we go all over the place, right? But this specific event, you come to me, and you come in my own backyard. You know what I mean? So that's one difference between this and another heavy. The energy of this event is like, it's just incredible. Like, I like, as soon as I pulled up to the nav on Friday morning, I could already feel it. I could already feel, like, you know, the positive energy that just surrounds that area. And with the fact that we were running, you know, a brag heavy there, it just the energy behind the event, it can be overwhelming. Another thing, man, like, we get a lot of heavy hitters in the community that come to this event. You know, I mean, most of the selection finishers have done one of these before. They did it after they went to selection, or before, whatever. They got one of these underneath their belt, and I know a couple of them use this event as, like, a metric to see where their training was at for, like, GORUCK selection. So another thing, man, like, just the grassroots effort, man, the word of mouth, from across the community. I mean, GORUCK's not exactly, like, out there, you know, getting on their soapbox, marketing the shit out of this event. You know, We don't need to, like, the grassroots, you know, word of mouth that travels about this event. I mean, the event sells itself. We don't have to go out and really market it too much, you know. And you know, with all the above capped in, you know, I really put the effort to, you know, to essentially put the screws to everybody on purpose to make this event what it is. You know, I mean, I have to keep every year, man. Like, it seems every year I keep, you know, increasing the bar for this event. I don't know what impossible means for this event, because I keep every year I keep reinventing this event and trying to do different things, and it so far works out great. And the fact that, to go back, the fact that I get a ton of cadre, it just makes this event even more special, man. When I got 8 cadre out there, I mean, we feed off of each other. It's like you guys are all in a tank, and you guys are all food, and we're the sharks. You know what I mean? We're just, I mean, I know it sounds crazy. That sounds horrible, but, like, the cadre, I mean, we absolutely feed off each other. Like, the more cadre, the worse off for you guys. Honestly, that's just the way it is. You know, if there's 2 cadre at an event, or 3, you know, every heavy has, you know, it minimum 2 cadre. And then the more, you know, the more people that show up, the more cadre. And that just spells doom for you guys, because we absolutely do feed off each other. And the other thing, man, is like, we don't have a pattern for this thing. You know, it's not at the same place doing the same stuff. You never know where it's going to be. I mean, I did the first two on Fort Bragg. The next two were out in the middle of nowhere in the Sandhills game lands. And the past three have been all at the NAV. I mean, next year, who knows? We might be on Fort Bragg next year. We might go back to the game lands. We might just stay at the NAV. You're not going to know until like a month prior to the event where the start point is. You know what I mean? And like, to be perfectly honest with you, man, I'm not leaning in any way. I'm not leaning, you know, to the NAV. I'm not leaning towards going to Fort Bragg. I'm not leaning to going back out to the game lands. Like, to me, all three of them are equally awesome, and all three of those locations specific are very unique. You know, I absolutely though would love to go back on to Fort Bragg. I think that would be phenomenal. We got to work on that, but that would be great, and that will happen at some point. I mean, that's going to happen. I just don't know when. So that's why this is the king of all rucks, man. All the stuff I laid out, I really put some mental bandwidth into this. I'm like, okay, why is this event the king of all rucks? Why? You know, what's the so what? And that's what I came up with. And I bounced some of this off the participants that just did the Joe Warner Bragg Heavy. And they're like, all that stuff, Dan.
I never really thought of the Bragg Heavy that way, in the way that you explained it, where all the other heavies, Gorak comes to the people, but this is truly one of the heavies, and it seems like the Robbie Miller Heavy might be shaping up that way as well, where people are really traveling to the event.
Yeah. And you know, the every event Gorak comes to you, this event you come to me in my own backyard. I mean, I would love to take credit for coming up with that awesome quote, but that was actually Cadre Bill whenever he when he was talking about this event. And super smart guy, man. When he broke that down, I was like, yeah, man, Bill, yeah, that's genius, man. That's exactly it right there. You know what I mean? So obviously I got to give him credit for that. You know, his Cadre Bill's my boy, so that was good. But yeah, man, all of the above, man, king of all rucks.
Yeah, it adds just an extra level to it, because you know, when people come out to the Seattle area, for example, because that's where I'm from, we start rucking a certain direction, you might have kind of an idea of, you know, what's over there. You don't know at all where the Cadre is going to take you, but you know, if we're heading north, then we know that we're not heading south. So you can kind of cancel out that south stuff. But when you're over there, you're living in your backyard. I mean, you don't know the tricks that the Cadre have out there. All the Cadre are from the local area. You know, you mentioned that they all brought coupons in their cars and their trucks and just loaded them up. It just brings a whole different level because of the location and what you can do with it and make it the king of rucks.
Yeah. Cadre Montreal, man, he brought his trailer full of coupons. You know what I mean? Like, just to conceptualize, like, you know, how many, and then like, you know, Cadre Scott, he had like I've never seen that many ammo cans that were full of sand ever in other than when I went to, you know, actual special forces assessment and selection. I mean, he had ammo cans for days, and he actually showed up like super early and had everything laid out, and took a picture and sent it to me. And I was like, oh man, that sucks. But, everybody carried it, man. All 82 of them. They carried all the coupons, man. And it was honestly, I'm pretty sure it's about the most I've ever seen. And one of my MOs that I'm known for is bringing a just ridiculous amount of coupons to events and everything like that. I absolutely see the value in the shared misery aspect of carrying a ridiculous amount of coupons for XX amount of distance, and how that feeds into building the team during, you know, the team events, or not even the team events, but during the Toughs and, you know, the heavies and everything like that. So I'm a huge fan of coupons. They'll always, even like events that I fly to, I still bring like two check bags of all kinds of lunacy for everybody to carry. You know what I mean? Like, I've never shown up to an event without a ton of coupons. I just couldn't do it. So it was great seeing all the coupons and everything like that there. And yeah, man, and everybody carried them. They carried them all, and they did a, you know, phenomenal job. I mean, I can't state how proud I am on the participants that finished this last Joe Warner Bragg Heavy, and honestly to any participant that's ever finished it, finished the Bragg Heavy or the Joe Warner Bragg Heavies. I mean, they did a phenomenal job, man, and I'm super proud of them, especially me, because the weather took a horrible turn, man, and everybody, instead of like everybody worrying about themselves, man, they all gelled together as a team. They all took care of one another. There were definitely times where, like, you know, one of us cads are out there pontificating or whatnot, and like somebody would walk over and they would pull out their hypothermia blanket and they would grab their buddy and, like, you know, they were over there jackhammering away and everything. It's just cool stuff to see. I know that sounds crazy, but it's just like, yeah, man, the participants, man, they really dug the taking care of your buddy to your left and your right. And that was great to see, you know, through the event. Cause I'll tell you, man, we put the screws to these guys. Like, there was no, we didn't let up, man. As soon as we got done with that, well, I wouldn't even say that. As soon as we started, man, we just hammered the accelerator to the ground and kept it going all the way until the very, very end. And everybody did a phenomenal job, and they did great, and they really gelled together as a team, and I'm super proud of them. And it was great to shake all their hands and hand them their well-earned Joe Warner Bragg Heavy patch.
And it sounds like a couple people might have earned the Kadri Dan patch as well.
Yeah. So I had, I had about almost 20 people, but that was their third heavy with me. And that's another thing, man. That's another reason why I loved running Go Ruck events, because, like, you know, you get to. It's always been it's always been about the people, man. It's always been about, like, meeting new people and seeing what people are capable of, outside of their comfort zone. And you know, you really have to make serious bad life decisions to do a heavy, you know. And then you throw on there, like, you really got to be mentally deficient to do a Bragg Heavy. And then when you do like three heavies with me, I mean, you're an anomaly. And I got my cadre patch, and I handed out probably about 20 of them for folks that had done three heavies. Actually, it was kind of cool. A couple of the guys, they had done the Nashville double heavy and then came to this one. So I was like, you know, within 6 months there, he did three heavies with me. It's pretty awesome. You know what I mean? And then there's a couple of the guys, man, like, you know, it took them like 4 years. I mean, it's not about, like, you know, trying to bag as many Kadri Dan events or anything like that. I appreciate the support and these guys, you know, coming out to these events and everything like that, where I just happen to be Kadri, and they're, you know, they've done three heavies with me, man. So you get a set of red knucks with a serial number, and they earned it. Every one, every heavy. So
that's what it sounds like. I didn't realize that you were one of the Kadri on the double heavy.
Yeah. Me, Bellman, and Montreal, we did the double heavy in Nashville this, last May. Great event, man. Like, it's kind of funny, man, with those, cause I mean, I ain't gonna lie, man, I'm super hesitant on double heavies. And even more hesitant on triple heavies. I know I'm pretty sure we've done one triple heavy, and I ain't gonna lie, man, I was not a big fan of it. I really wasn't. And I needed some talking into for the double heavy. And when I mean talking into, I mean like, talking into, cause it was a custom double heavy. I needed talking into to actually, like, you know, cadre the event. And it's not, be, and, And it's not anything negative or anything like that. It's just at some point, man, we start running the alphabet soup. You know, we got HTLs and, you know, triple tufts and, you know, double heavies and everything like that, or triple heavies. I mean, what's next? Like a quadruple heavy? You know what I mean? It's like, where's the line? Where does it end? I wanted to keep the, so I was, you know, just kind of holding on to keep the heavy, just the heavy, and just having it pure. And, the guy that, hit me up about the custom double heavy, phenomenal dude. And, I mean, he was like, "Hey man, I want to do this." And I was like, "You know what? Why not?" You know, somebody gave me a shot to even have a heavy, you know, even have a concept, even have this event in the first place. It was, you know, based off of somebody giving me a shot. So I'm like, "Eh, why not?" And, ran on, did that double heavy, man. That changed my mind, man. Great group of people. Phenomenal work they put in. They earned that double heavy patch. And I'm hoping that like next year we can put like 3 or 4 double heavies like permanently on the schedule and not just have like, you know, custom double heavies and everything like that. Actually, a couple of participants hit me up from this past weekend about doing a double heavy. And I think even one of them talked about doing a triple heavy. I'm honest, I'm still not kind of sold on the triple heavy. I'm not gonna lie, but like the double heavy, man, I'm sold, man. I think it's a great idea, and with some very specific rules, and one of those would absolutely have to be like if you sign up for one, you sign up for both, and you can't skip the first heavy, or you could just do one. If you sign up for one, you have to do both. But if you decide not to do the second one, whatever, it's on you. You know what I mean? You still get a heavy patch, but you can't not show up to the first one and then do the second one. You know what I mean? It brings a totally different dynamic than an HTL, because HTLs, man, you got fresh meat coming in, you know,
carry the weight.
You got fresh folks coming in for the tough and even fresher for the light, man. But the double heavy, nope. Like when you start the second heavy, man, it's, hey, and I told the class this, man. I was like, hey, man, like, I don't care that you just did a heavy. You're going to do another one, and we're starting all over again. And we did the PT test. You know, we did a 12-miler, same coupons. You know, it was like, there's no, like, you know, I'm not going to let off, man. I'm not going to lower the standard because I feel sorry for you because you made bad life decisions and want to do a double heavy.
Yeah, so in the case for 2019 and moving forward, it'd be the Robbie Miller wad first heavy, then you'd see it again second heavy.
Yeah, absolutely. With 2 12-milers, you know, that's a lot, man. But honestly, man, like that class and those participants that did that double heavy, man, totally changed my mind on the double heavy, man. I'm totally bought in on them and everything like that. And hopefully we can get them on the schedule for next year, man. Great group of people from the community did that event. So kudos to them.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of, I guess not a lot, but a handful of custom heavy heavies. I know F3 did one.
Yep.
And there's been a couple others. So it'll be really interesting to see those hit the calendar, because it's almost as if you're not tied into the community already or part of one of those groups that you're not going to know about the double heavies until, you know, they're over and you're seeing the patches on Instagram or whatever.
Yeah.
They've all been custom events, so that should be interesting to see those hit the calendar. So maybe next year would be the year of the heavy that you were talking about.
Yeah. And even this year, I mean, they changed my mind so much, man, that I even floated the idea of doing a double heavy for the Joe Warner Bragg heavy. Like I was that committed, you know what I mean? Like we were going to do the Joe Warner Bragg heavy, have a 4-hour break, and then roll right into another heavy at the nab, at the site. So, I mean, you're looking at 48 hours of just, you know, getting crushed out there. And, I mean, and the weather the past 24 hours has been no different than what it was during the heavy, you know what I mean? So it would have been miserable, but we would have changed it up, obviously, a little bit. We wouldn't have done the same stuff. We would have probably walked around Southern Pines and whatnot and got some miles on and whatnot. But yeah, man, I was absolutely going to do, I wanted to do a double heavy for this one and then kind of launch, you know, this double heavy, then do one like in the, I'll do one in like May or like in the spring. It's basically like, you know, spring, summer, fall, winter, double heavies, do like 4 a year. But I went over to Germany this past year, and then with me breaking my foot and everything like that, I wasn't able to like put the bandwidth to, you know, get this off the ground running, but it's definitely something I'm looking forward to next year.
So I've got some questions about previous Brag Heavy events that I want to ask at some point. So I'm not sure if now's the point.
Yeah.
So when I completed the first ABSOC down in California, when I was waiting in the airport, I got a call from one of my friends who had been at Brag Heavy. And I can't even remember what year that was, that the first ABSOC was. But when I mentioned this, you'll probably remember what Brag Heavy it is. He said that something happened at the end of the event that created a couple of VWs, and it was kind of a shocker. Something about,
yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I heard that story from him. I heard it from a couple other people who finished the event, but if you're okay sharing it, I'd love to hear the Cadre side of it.
So Brag Heavy version 2.0. We were getting towards the end, and I can't remember what this wasn't my idea. So I want full disclosure on that. It wasn't my idea. It was another one of the cadres. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Cadre Aaron that came up with this, and or it was either Cadre Aaron or Cadre Kevin. It was one of them, because both those guys are, you know, again, phenomenal cadre and good friends. And they're like, hey, they're like, let's do at the very end, let's do a false 12 miler and let's see if anybody will quit. And the first thing out of my mouth was, I was like, there ain't no way after all the stuff that we put these guys through that if we do a false 12 miler, then we're going to get anybody to quit. That's just not going to happen. And they're like, no, nah. They're like, well, then let's do it. And it was like kind of like challenging me. And I thought about it for a minute. I was like, you know what? Yeah, let's do it. So this is what I did. So I had everybody in like a formation, and I gave them the 12 miler brief, right? And what I did was I individually released everybody, so they had to make the decision by themselves whether they were going to go. It wasn't like a team thing, and so I individually tapped people, and basically what it was I had pushed the cadre out, and we had sold it. Like, it was like, no kidding, going to happen. I mean, we had cadre jumping in vehicles and driving away and everything like that. It was like totally legit. Like, we did a real good job selling it. So basically what they did when I released and when I tapped them, they had to like walk down this hill and turn like a corner, and then everybody, and then the cadre were there to collect people and get them back into formation. I mean, it wasn't even like a 200 meter movement at all. And so I was, you know, releasing people and everything like that, and I got to the very end, and there was four people standing there, and I hit them to go, and they looked at me and they were like, we can't. And I was like, no, you need to go. And I was like, I'm telling you right now, you need to go. And they're like, nah, man, we can't go. And I was like, well, you got two options. You either start on this 12 miler or you're done and you can go ahead and walk to your car. Cause this was at the start point. And they all looked at each other and they were like, yeah, we're done. And I was like, okay. So I took their names and, you know, took their names down, that they quit and everything like that. And I walked down to the hill where the rest of the class was. And I told them, like, look, I'm like, all the preaching I've done. And I was actually pretty upset. I actually took my clipboard that had all my paperwork in. I slammed it off the ground in front of the class. I'm a pretty emotional dude. And I was like, out of all the stuff I've been telling you guys this entire event about not quitting and sticking together and pushing through adversity and yada, yada, yada. I was like, I just got four people to quit at the very end of the event. And I was like, you guys, they're going to drive by us because just the way the route worked and everything. I was like, they're going to drive by us. I was like, I don't want you to do anything. You just stand there and don't say a damn word. And no kidding, like 2 minutes later, two cars came around the bend. They drove by, and those four guys looked and saw the entire class just standing there with all the cadre, and they drove away. Craziness.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But there's a happy ending to this story. So one of the guys that quit at the very end of the event, he came to the very first Joe Warner Bragg Heavy. So the third year we were running the Bragg Heavy, he came to it, and I immediately recognized him. And I looked at him and I was like, you're here for redemption, aren't you? And he's like, yep. I was like, redemption is 24 hours away. And we did the event. He did great. And he did great. He did great during the version 2.0, during that Bragg Heavy that he quit at. He did great. And he could have done another 12-miler if we would have made him do a 12-miler. And yeah, man, he finished up that heavy. And then I think he did another one. And he was absolutely at the one a couple days or yesterday. He was at the event. And it's always great seeing him, man. He's a good dude. And he always tells me, he's like, that was one of the best life lessons I ever learned was, you know, quitting at that event and driving by and seeing their participants and, you know, how much he appreciates the life lesson he got out of that. So pretty awesome, man. So that story's got a happy ending.
I had no clue that one of their participants came back for redemption. The reason why I was bringing it up, or one of the reasons, was because a lot of the people, maybe not a lot of people, but I'm sure there's still some people out there who scoff at a 12-mile ruck, right? Like, you know, yeah, it's just 12 miles. But if someone can get all the, not just someone, but if four people can get all the way through a Bragg Heavy and then being told you're going to go out and being sold on it, like you said, the cadre really sold this home that they're doing a 12-mile ruck, and then they call it quits on there, like, that is the power of a 12-mile ruck.
Yeah, you're right. It's that scary, right? Some scary shit.
I mean, it's not a joke. And so if you're out there training for a heavy and you haven't done a 12, I mean, do a 12, and like Cadre Dan said, you know, shoot for a quick time so you've got your buffer room. Do a couple of them.
Yeah, man. I mean, all these three podcasts, man, I've talked so much about the importance of the 12-mile ruck. I mean, the 12-mile ruck will always be in heavies. That will never go away. I mean, it's that integral to the event. It'll never go away. And yeah, I mean, there's so many, you know, so many stories around this mystical 12-mile ruck. And it's all it is, man, is you, your rucksack, and you walk for 12 miles, done. That's it, you know? But it is what it is.
It sure is. It sure is. And that's one of the things that's the beauty of it, right? Is that it's not like you need a gym membership or you need to have collected some, I don't know, obscure piece of workout equipment to test out this thing that you've only heard about. I mean, you can grab your ruck and go out on a 12 miler right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's simple. And it's free.
Yeah, I know, man. Yes. Rucking. It's very important. And it's especially important if you want to thrive at a Go Ruck event. I mean, it is. I mean, the company is called Go Ruck. That means your ruck goes with.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
So that story has stuck with me for years. And
yeah,
I think about that at least quarterly. I mean, whenever I'm presented with something that seems impossible or really sucks, I just think about that feeling, right? Because I mean,
yeah,
I wasn't there. I wasn't at Bragg Heavy 2. I wasn't, you know, one of the people who chose to go down the hill or one of the people who didn't. But everyone has been in similar situations in their life. And a lot of people have the ability to, you know, put themselves in other people's shoes. And I mean, you can just imagine driving down that hill, driving past. And if you're listening, you haven't gathered this yet, the people at the bottom of the hill did not have to ruck the 12 miles. It was a, like, what would you call it? A false finish?
I call it false 12-miler.
Yeah.
I call it the false, you know, like a false finish would be like, you know, when we do false finishes, we go back to the start point just a little bit early and everybody's like, oh man, there's my car. We're almost done. And then we leave.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then we come back, or we might come back a couple of times. That'd be like a false finish. We did like a false 12 miler, and the Casual were awesome, man. They totally sold it, man. And they bought it, and personal responsibility, man. Everybody minus those four made the personal decision to go on that 12 miler. You know what I mean? Because I wasn't letting anybody minus those four at the very end. Nobody was talking at all. There was no like, man, is he going to make us really do this shit? You know what I mean? Like, it was just like, I gave the brief and then I walked up to the first person and I was like, go. And all it is, man, one foot in front of the other. And craziness, man. There's all kinds of great stories at these events, man. And it's always a good time.
So I mentioned that was one that has stuck with me from Brag Heavy 2, and I wasn't even there. You were there, and you've been at, you know, the Brag Heavies. Are there any stories that you've got that, you know, you wanna share?
That specific participant earlier on in that event at version 2.0, we were doing a bunch of exercises, and I had these guys in like in the swamp, and there was this open water area, and there was a bridge that went across, and I was on the bridge and they were in the water. And the water probably was only about, you know, up the mid thigh. And it was cool, but it wasn't that bad. But the water was cold though. But the air temperature wasn't that bad. So I had them doing a whole bunch of exercises and everything like that. And this guy, he was right in front of me and he like passed out. Like he like face planted in the water. I was like, hey, get that guy out of the water. Like his buddies who was left and his right, like picked him up out of the water. He was out cold. And I was like, all right, follow me. And I had my truck there. Cause if I'm going to like, you know, go crazy on the water, like I need a heating source. You know what I mean? And so I put him in my truck and cranked the heater all the way up. And for any Brag Heavy, I always have hypothermia kits because the weather just all, you know, just goes to shit. So I always have hypothermia kits with me. And I pull out the hypothermia kit and I put a space blanket on him and had him sitting in my truck. And he started coming back to, you know, back around. I mean, when I mean passed out, I mean, he was just kind of like out of it. You know what I mean? He wasn't unconscious or anything like that. He was just like, you know, hey, where am I? What am I doing? You know what I mean? So he started coming to and everything like that. And I remember opening the door and I looked at him. I'm like, all right, bro, this is the time. This is, you got two options. You can either continue to train or you can quit. He's like, I'm good. I'm warmed up now. And he got back out of my truck, grabbed his rucksack and continued to train, man. It was pretty awesome. I was like, it's a hard dude. Unfortunately, later that night, he quit at that false 12 mile. And that's one of the things that like made me even more upset. Cause I'm like, bro, you passed out during the event and you could have like been like, nah, man, I'm done. You know what I mean? And nobody probably would have thought any less of you. You know what I mean? And like, to get to the very end and quit, I was like, I was so frustrated, you know, about to pull my hair out. I mean, I slam my clipboard off the ground. But the ones in the Game Lands, man, were really cool. We had one of the years we had Trail Life, Montreal. His was involved with the trail life. And it's an organization that helps out like younger kids. They do like, you know, Boy Scout stuff. They go out camping trips and whatnot. So Montreal brought these guys out to the very first Joe Warner Bragg Heavy when we renamed it, and had them working as a partner force. So like the class had to like train these guys like how to carry coupons and how to move coupons. And we had them like different scenarios and different role playing and everything like that. So that was pretty cool. I mean, that event was pretty cool and it's pretty unique, you know, obviously because we christened the event and, you know, had, you know, Joe's wife and kids out there and everything. And the next year out at the Gamelands, I was able to actually procure resources from the actual Special Forces Assessment and Selection. Those guys out there were real nice and they let me sign for some stuff. So they, the second Joe Warner Bragg Heavy, those guys actually use like, no kidding, like the stuff that, you know, participants use when they try out for Special Forces. So that was pretty cool. You know what I mean? Just a different, like the actual logs and some of the apparatus stuff. That was pretty sweet. They really dug that. And then, you know, going out at the NAV, the ones at the NAV, what just stands out is just the sheer amount of PT that we throw at these guys and the, you know, the looks on their faces. They're like, oh my God. Like, I thought we were just going to ruck around for 50 to 60 miles. I'm like, nope, we're going to do like 4 hours of log PT.
Oh my gosh. So Joe Warner, Bragg Heavy, this was the fifth year of that event.
Yeah.
So is next year going to be the sixth year, or is there going to be any changes made to, I guess, the Bragg Heavy in general?
So the Bragg Heavy will always be the Bragg Heavy, and it will always be in February. I won't be, you know, if for whatever reason I get deployed or something like that, we got such a wealth of knowledge and experience with running these events that any one of the cadre can run the event, and hell, they might even do a better job. And
it's gained such a lore over the years that there are people who have been who are putting this on their calendar for, you know, 1 year, 2 years out. Like, this is an event people are training for and excited for.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we're always going to do this event. And you know, the past 5 years has been known as the, you know, the Joe Warner Bragg Heavy. And this year is the last in naming convention only Joe Warner Bragg Heavy. And but basically what happened was we, you know, Joe's wife and cadre and, you know, headquarters, you know, we discussed, you know, having Joe Warner's name attached to us and everything like that. And his wife, Stephanie, was super supportive. I mean, again, she was at the event when we christened it and everything like that. And having this event named after, you know, her husband really helped her with the healing process and, you know, in the closure of what happened to Joe. And, she thought it would be best if we just went back to the Bragg Heavy. And, you know, his wife gets a vote. Matter of fact, his wife gets not even a vote. His wife has veto power. You know what I mean? So that was her wishes and her decision. And, you know, we at GORUCK were like, yeah, absolutely. If that's what you want, done. And so we will – every Bragg Heavy, we will always honor Joe, and she absolutely wanted that. She absolutely wanted us to honor Joe, in our own GORUCK way, at future Bragg Heavies. So we'll always honor Joe. And then, you know, with what happened last year with Jerome Gonzalez, we're always going to honor Jerome, man. Like, we're always going to honor both those guys at every Bragg Heavy. That next year's Bragg Heavy, there's three things that are definitely going to happen. We're definitely going to do the Robbie Miller Wad. We're going to do a 12-miler. We're going to do the Jerome Wad. And actually, you know, and then obviously the fourth, because I can't count, we're going to honor Joe, and that's going to happen at every Bragg Heavy.
And so if you're listening to this and you're planning on going to the Bragg Heavy, there's at least a couple hours worth of the event for you.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Train hard.
Train hard. Do those wads at least once in advance.
That would probably help, bro.
I really hope you enjoyed that interview with Kadri Dan. That was awesome talking to him about the history of the Bragg Heavy, all that good stuff. Don't go anywhere, because in 30 seconds, it's going to be even more awesome stories with Kadri Dan. When we wrapped, we were talking about doing events, because Kadri Dan's participated in a number of them. And we ended up getting into a story of some funny stuff he got into at the Robbie Miller Heavy, the first one. And so we've got that recorded for you here. Some awesome Kadri Dan stories from that first event. I hope you enjoy it.
I'm just like you guys, man. I've done a tough and I've done a heavy, man. I've done them. Been there, done that. I went through all the emotions associated with it.
And that's been really fun to talk about, because I mean, you've done the event, so you can appreciate where everyone who's doing the events is coming from, and you know, yeah, the spots they're in. You can probably see it and pick it right out just on how their face is looking during an hour, whatever, of the event.
Yep. No, absolutely, man. It was funny when I did the Robbie Miller Heavy last year. A couple of my teammates were just looking at me and laughing. They're like, "Ha ha, getting a taste of your own medicine, aren't you?" I was like, "Yep." And again, man, I was just joking. I'm like, man, the cadre, man, he brought all these coupons. This is ridiculous. And, you know, then that's my MO, you know, it's just funny. I was just making fun of myself throughout the whole event.
Yeah. You know, there's someone there who's done an event with you and you're like, "Hey man, you brought all those coupons last heavy."
What's funny, bro, is, I forgot to mention this, man. So when I did the Robbie Miller Heavy, man, like, you know, obviously, like, I designed the event, right? So I know the tricks. So I brought a kit bag full of stuff to help the team carry coupons. So I had this, I mean, it had all kinds of different straps, different litters, different all kinds of stuff, man. I pulled out all the rope. I pulled out all the stops to have stuff that would make our life easier for the event, right? So when I linked up with Carl, well, it was during the event, because I carried the kit bag up to the event, and Carl was the cadre, and he's like, is that a team weight? I'm like, "No, that's just an extra coupon for us to carry." I didn't want to tell him that, like, it was, "Hey, it's all a bunch of stuff to make it easy, to make the event easier." And so Carl was like, "Yeah, okay, whatever. Just throw that with all the other coupons." I was like, "Hell yeah, man. I think I got over," right? So later on, after we had done the Robbie Miller wad and then went and did the 12-miler, Carl started issuing us out the coupons. And I was all excited, man. I was like, "Haha, I'm going to get over on the cadre. Haha, I got this kit bag to help us carry all this stuff." And the kit bag wasn't there. And I was like, okay, maybe it's just, it was dark. I was like, "Oh, maybe it fell out of the truck." And I'm like looking around the truck and I'm like, where the hell is this thing at? So I went up and asked Carl. He was like, "Oh, that kit bag? Oh, that's in the other truck. Yeah, you're not going to get that." I was like, oh, man. It was like, it was such a gut punch, bro. It was such a gut punch. I was like, "Oh my God." So then I was like, so throughout the event carrying, carrying all these coupons and everything, I was thinking in my head, I'm like, constantly thinking in my head, I'm like, "All right, how can we make this easier? How can we, you know, how can I help the team out and everything other than just carrying the coupons?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, that's right, man. Shopping carts. Got to find some shopping carts." So I told everybody on the class, like, quietly, I'm like, "Hey, if you guys see shopping carts, we got to snag those up and we'll throw the coupons in them and push the shopping carts." And so no kidding, we did this rest stop and I look over in the parking lot and there was a shopping cart, but it was like 100 meters away from the class. So I was like, "Huh, shopping cart. So I just took off running by myself, and I grabbed the shopping cart, and I come pushing it back. And I was like all like super pumped up. I was like, ha ha, got this shopping cart. It's going to make our lives easier. And Carl was like, hey, where's your buddy? And I was like, man, I didn't have a buddy. He was like, well, now you get to wear a shopping cart. So I had to put this shopping cart like over my ruck and everything, like walk. It just, when I see the picture, it reminds me of that Saturday Night Live skit that Justin Timberlake does, where he's like the box. He's got his arms like just flailing out and everything like that. He's like with I think he's with Jimmy Fallon, and I can't remember like the skit where they're doing back and forth. I can't remember the name of this skit, but anyway, it just reminded me of that. And like, bro, walking with the steel shopping cart, I had to walk for like half a mile. That was like a very hard half a mile to do. So it was pretty funny. Carl made me take it off. I was like, all right, Carl, I learned my lesson. He's like, okay, you can take the shopping cart off, but there's no quarter. Even if you're a cadre in an event, man, you get treated just like you get gladiator rules, man. You get treated just like you're a gladiator.
And that was such a great analogy last time. I mean, that it's so perfect. It's exactly the same. I mean, you signed up, you showed up, you're a participant.
Yeah, exactly. And it's that, and that's the way it should be. So, and like if any cadre, I mean, I've had what, Joe, Marcus, I think are the only two cadre that have done the Bragg Heavy. And I mean, Joe wasn't cadre at that time when he did it. So, you know, when Marcus was when he was a participant, man, I didn't treat him any different, man. I treated him just like, well, I mean, I don't treat the participants any different than I treat anybody else. But like, he didn't get no special treatment because he was a cadre either or, you know what I mean? Like he didn't get like extra PT because he was a cadre, but I also didn't slack off on PT either. You know what I mean? He was just another participant doing an event, and he did great.
Thank you so much for listening to the All Day Ruck Off podcast. I really hope you enjoyed this episode with Cadre Dan. I feel incredibly lucky to have had him on for 3 episodes in a row. If the Gorkh Heavy event doesn't interest you in the slightest, then I'm sorry about that, because we just had 3 awesome episodes about the Gorkh Heavy. But if it's something that you're even mildly interested in, or if you're interested in the history of Goruck and the way that these events have come around, hopefully you found these interesting. If you want links to anything we talked about during this episode, or links to the previous 2 podcast episodes with Cadre Dan, you can hit up the show notes, alldayruckoff.com/podcast/episode-089. This was a ton of fun. Cadre Dan will be back. I've talked to him a bit about it, and I'm pretty sure he'll be able to be on to talk about Goruck selection when we get closer to selection season. That should be a lot of fun for us because we're not participating in selection, and maybe we'll get some of the history of that event and some more awesome Cadre Dan stories. If you enjoyed this episode and want to support the podcast, reviews are free to write and they are incredibly appreciated. Obviously, I read every single one of them. They're just so awesome and motivating to read when I'm editing the podcast at 1 a.m, trying to get it out. So if you want to leave a review, you can search All Day Ruck Off on either iTunes or on Facebook. It should pop right up. You can leave a review there. Again, truly appreciated. If you want to buy rucking related gear, as always, you can hit up the All Day Ruck Off store, alldayruckoff.com/store. Lots of rucking gear, rucking apparel, products from the GRT community, all that good stuff. And again, thank you so much for all of the support. It is truly appreciated. Don't forget, attitude is everything. Keep yours positive and drink hard, ruck harder.